Romans chapter 8. I'm going to try to dig in quick and get rolling so we can cover a little bit of ground. I know I went off a little bit last time on sodomites and Disney. And yeah, they are related, believe it or not. But I know. How insane is that to use those two words in the same sentence? That is an indication of the generation that we live in, this wicked twofold generation that you're a part of. And I'm good morning. Welcome to Sunday school. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8. I think that's where we're at, right? Romans 8? Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right. That's close enough, right? Good. All right. Romans chapter 8. I think I pretty much hit verse 1. Therefore, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I hit that verse pretty good. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, as you'll see here shortly as we run through some verses. That is the theme of the next several verses there about the flesh, walking in the flesh. That shouldn't be your theme, by the way, but that's the theme of a backslidden Christian. If you're walking in the flesh in here this morning, then you're wrong. Yeah, you're absolutely wrong. Yeah. And I'll say this without reservation or apologies, that most Christians walk in the flesh. Yeah. We're going to see in a minute, you're not in your flesh, okay? That if you're saved, you are not in your flesh. You're walking in your flesh if you're backslidden. That's what the Bible teaches. Yeah. So you don't understand this and that. I do understand. I don't have time to tell you my background, but I understand, okay? And if there's something really, really wicked that I haven't done, and there's a couple things out there, but not too many, that I haven't done or thought about, and don't look at me like you're like some kind of holy little thing there, because you have the same mind that I've got. And I'm telling you right now, if I got a wicked thought, you've had the same thought sometime in your life, and probably right now, probably about me. Amen. So we'll go ahead and we'll go ahead and dig in, and we'll just let it rip. All right. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Now what that is there is if you want to dig down doctrinally, take a look at that verse, turn to Colossians chapter 2, talking about the spiritual circumcision. That's the law. Because in Galatians 3, I'm not going to turn to all these places, but I'm going to hit on them here as we move on and progress in the chapter. But in Galatians chapter 3, we should know that chapter very well. And that's where Jesus Christ, he did what? He abolished the law. If you're in Jesus Christ, you're not under the law anymore. That's Galatians chapter 3. When you get time, take a look at it later on. Now in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, so you're going to turn my Bible there. Colossians 2:11 talks about the circumcision made without hands, right? Now what that is, that's a spiritual circumcision. That is what Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, does to you physically in your body when you get saved. Look at the Bible, Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised. We know what that is. I'm not going to go into detail. With the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. That's not baptism, by the way. That's a holy spiritual baptism that comes inside of you and cuts your flesh away from your soul, because a man has three parts. Has what? Body, soul, spirit. Amen. We got that down. Good. Amen. We don't learn that on CNN, by the way. Amen. You ain't going to learn that in Fox News. You don't see that on Facebook. You see that in this book, the King James Bible. Amen. Amen. That is what the Bible says. Also, another verse in Psalms, I won't turn here, it talks about the operation of God. That's a cross-reference to Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Okay, you can write that down, take a look at that later. And what happens is when you get saved, there's a laser beam that comes inside of you, guided by the hand of the great physician, Jesus Christ, and he cuts away your soul from your flesh. Because what happened in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And if you die in your sins, you go to hell. Why is that? Because your soul, which is eternal, by the way, you're either eternally going to be in heaven or in hell. There's two places, not purgatory. That's it. The sacraments are false. They're a lie. The Pope is a liar. He's the Antichrist. Amen. So what I'm doing is I'm plugging. That's called preaching, by the way. Exposing the truth. All right. If I'm making you feel good this morning, then I'm not doing a good job. Amen. Yeah. When you leave here, you ought to be two things. If you're right with God, you ought to say, praise the Lord, not because I'm preaching, because it's the truth. Yeah. Or you're going to say, that dude is a jerk. I hate him. Yeah. Well, amen to that, too. Yeah. Amen to that, too. I'm not worried about what you think about me. I'm not doing this for me. If I was, I'd have my hair all growing out. No offense. I look like stinking Joel Osteen. You don't, by the way. And I'm not picking on you. I'm just being real. I watched an interview with that loser, okay, that idiot. I want to cuss at him right now. But I won't. Joel Osteen is such a bad, if he's even saved, he's such a backslidden loser, wimp. He was on a national TV, and he was just tiptoeing through the lilies instead of telling them what the Bible says about sodomites. He had an opportunity. And he, really, my job is just to stay in my lane and lift people up. Are you going to lift up a queer? Why? So they can keep being queer? The Bible says repent and turn from your ways and turn to Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Don't get mad at me. I'm out there preaching on him at night. I'm out there hugging on him at night. But I'm not bringing him into my house. I have daughters and children. They don't reproduce. They recruit. And they ain't doing it in my house over my dead, rotten corpse. Amen. Okay, back to the Bible here. Amen. It is the Bible, by the way. For what the law could not do in that it was weak, Romans 8:3, through the flesh. It was weak through the flesh. Why? Because they were not spiritually circumcised in the Old Testament. Their soul was stuck to the body. It was weak. Every time they sinned, every time they had an off-color thought, they had to go make a blood sacrifice for that, or else they're going to die and go to hell. How would you like to live like that? How would you like that? No, thank God for Jesus Christ. We don't have to do that, right? Amen. It was weak. The law was weak. God sending, verse 3, his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That's Jesus Christ, by the way. He condemned sin in the flesh. You know what he did? He called a spade a spade. I'm going to show you in a minute the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not the same character that you see on TV. And on Gay Pride Week, when you see him in the street saying, Jesus loves me, Jesus. That's not the Bible. Now, why you harp? Now, you say, you always got to get up there and harp on it. Well, they push it down my throat. Every time I turn the TV on or a radio on, it's always jammed down my throat. And I heard another preacher say this, and I think it's good. I stole it, and I'm going to say this. I didn't start this fight. It's not my fault. Don't come to me and push your agenda down my throat and expect me to lay over like a dead dog. No. No. That's why we lost our families. That's why we lost our households. That's why we're losing our kids. Because you won't fight. And it's the men's fault in here. It's the men's fault. You won't fight. That is right. Because that's what the Bible says. Let me encourage you today. Why don't you fight? Why don't you call a spade a spade? Why don't you pretend you're living 100 years ago or 50 years ago for 10 minutes and act like a man for once in your life? Amen. I'm preaching to me. Because if I sit in front of that idiot box, like many of you do, for hours on end, 4 to 5 hours a night, no Bible, Facebook, all that baloney that I talk about until I'm blue in the face, no spiritual discernment. It's gone. It's gone. That's why pastors blue in the face. Sunday school. This place should be packed right now. When they stand at those back doors in my flesh, I want to lock them. Don't let them in. You don't deserve to be in here. That's what I feel like in the flesh. Why ain't you here now? Don't you care about the word of God? What are you here like to see John the Baptist, some kind of show going on? What do you want to go watch a basketball game Sunday morning up here? You want to be entertained? That's not the word of God. That's not Bible preaching. Bible preaching straight in your face. Get things right. And if you're right, you should be saying, hallelujah, thank God. That's the Bible way. Whew. Got to see your faces in here. Back to the Bible. That in the righteousness of the law, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. It says might be, it says in us. It doesn't say by us. And you know what you could do? Underline that verse and hit it, a Jehovah's Witness, definitely a Seventh-day Adventist, and definitely an Israelite, over the head with that verse. You do not fulfill the law. Nowhere, no how, no way. The law is fulfilled in you by Jesus Christ if you're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. That's what the Bible says. And it's right there and it's plain, okay? Amen. You don't have to keep the law. You should definitely obey it. Don't go out and murder somebody. But I'm saying you're not saved by keeping the law and not eating pork and all this other stuff, okay? Amen. That's what the Bible says. It said the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Amen. You're walking after some spirit today. Every one of us in here is being led by a spirit. But the question is what spirit is it? It's the one that you feed. That's what it is. Because you might have the Spirit of God in you, but you can follow the spirit of the Antichrist. And I'm going to talk about that in a few moments, if I have time. Amen. I amen myself. That's good stuff. Where are you going to get that? Go ask Joel Osteen what that means. He's going to say, blah, 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 I don't know. Just lift you up. Lift you up. You go lift up who you want, pal, okay? I'm going to preach the Bible. You don't have a stinking clue. You got 7 elevators in your house, and you're worth millions and millions and millions. You against rich people? No. I'm against rich preachers that are phonies. Yep.
Amen.
losers, lace on their britches. Yeah, that's right, wimps, and a few other choice words I like to say right now, but I can't. Why? Because they're damning people to hell. Damning people to hell. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That word mind, you should underline it. Look in verse 5, it says mind. The beginning of verse 6, it says mind it. The verse 7, it says mind, the carnal mind. Now, Romans chapter 8 talks a lot about the mind. Now, I do want to say this to you this morning. According to the Bible, and if you've been alive and have common sense in your head at all, you're going to know that that one of the hardest things being a Christian is the mind. Yeah. Right there is the battlefield. Right there. Okay? And the mind affects your heart. Okay? We're going to look at some verses here in a few moments that are going to help you, give you a little bit of ammo how to fight that mind. Because let me tell you this. If you don't just allow your mind to run free, guess what runs in there? The garbage truck. That's right. You're no different than me. Same thoughts I've got are the same thoughts you've got. Okay? You know what? You need that book in your mind. Wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereof to what? CNN. Oh, I mean the Word. The Word of God will work out the kinks in your head, Dr. Ruckman always said. Amen. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things that are after the things of the flesh. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. You awake this morning?
Amen.
Good. You ought to be. You ought to be. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above. Not in the TV. Above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affections, that means the things that you love, on things above. There's the word above twice in two sentences, two verses. Not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now the Bible says you are dead. Did you know that?
Yep.
You're a dead man walking, a zombie. Did you know that?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. But the thing is that the problem with Christians is they don't reckon themselves dead. They walk alive in the flesh, and they don't mortify their members, it says in Romans 8. We're going to get there in a minute. You know what that means? I'm not saying I'm a spiritual guy and I could do this, but this is what that means. For me to die, for me to live is Christ, to die is what? Good. So if a Muslim came in here and put a gun in my head, you know what I'm supposed to say? Muhammad's a pervert. Bang, I'm dead. And I take it for the Lord. That's what I'm supposed to do. You say, do you like that? No, I don't like it because I'm going to go Kung Fu Charlie on him. I know how to mess him up. I've trained in that stuff for years. But that's not my job anymore. My job is to take it for the Lord. I'm already dead. I'm not here. I'm already seated up there. My job is to live like I'm up there down here. But you won't do it. You got to walk in that flesh. Got to walk in that flesh. You won't do it. You won't do it. You won't do it. And then you die and you don't go to hell, but you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then you give an account of your life. And you say, why didn't I do it? And the Lord's going to say, your flesh, your flesh, your flesh. And then you're going to see some old guy come hobbling through here named Paul with no eyes and all short and messed up, and most contemptible man. The speech, if he was in here today, you'd kick him out. You would. You would. He didn't look right. He stunk, right? But he was rude in speech. That's how he talked. It's the Bible way. And that's not it. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life? Is he really? Christ is your life tonight? How much time did you spend with him? How much did you read your Bible last week versus your TV time? It says Christ is our life. Is he your life or not? Why don't you just be honest and say, no, he's not my life like he should be. Why don't you just be honest with God? You think you're going to lie to him like he doesn't know your heart and who you are anyway? You can lie to your wife, but you can't lie to Jesus Christ. That's insanity. It's time to get right. You know how much better this, and I love this church and I love our pastor. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here today. But how much better would it be if you just got right? Who is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Colossians 3, verse 5, here's what I'm getting to. Mortify, therefore, your members. You know what that means? That doesn't mean wear a low-cut blouse. That means cover it up because you're dead. Amen. That's what it means. It doesn't mean show off your body. What if I came in here this morning with my sleeves cut off, okay, and my muscles, and I was standing here doing like this, Some of you be like, dude, he's got some nice guns. Look at this dude. I didn't know the old man still had it, right? But if you had a spiritual bone in your body, you'd be like, what a loser. What a jerk. Amen. Well, what's the difference if I got to walk around and look at your cleavage? Amen. You don't think that bothers me? Amen. When I go up to a woman and I tell her to be nice and cordial and talk, and I see the woman anatomy, I'm not a queer. That bothers me.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't you want to help your brother?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, come on.
You're supposed to cover that stuff up. It's filthy, rotten flesh.
Yeah.
Because the Bible, you know what a mortician does? He covers up that nasty flesh. And then he puts makeup on it, right? Yeah. Nice little spray good. He puts a couple stitches in the eyeballs to keep them down because you don't want them popping up and see the bugs rolling around your little eyes. It's nasty. It's nasty. That's how you're supposed to treat your flesh right now. You're supposed to reckon yourself dead for Jesus Christ. You see, there's a goal. There's a vision you're supposed to have. And it's not your flesh. It's a spiritual walk for Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for you. How come you don't see it? Where is it? Was the vision gone? Yeah, it sure is. We live in apostasy. How is 40 minutes of Sunday school going to erase, 40 hours of TV? How's that going to happen? Everywhere you go in town, and I drive around even late at night when I'm home from work or home from school, you know what I see? I see the blue glass toilet glowing in every single house that I go by, every single house, your house included. How are you going to get right with God when you got that garbage going like 24/7? Propaganda, agenda, garbage, flesh. Mortify your members, the Bible says, which are upon the earth. Here we go. Number one, fornication. Isn't that something? Why is that number one? Why is fornication always got to jump his ugly head down your throat? Because Gentiles got a real problem with fornication. That's why. When, you know what? I could tell you out here, and I won't. My kids are sitting there looking at me on the street. When I preach those verses to those women on the street, and I start out nice, but I give it to them hard. I say, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. I say, do you know that God called somebody a whore in the Bible? Do you know that?
Amen.
I say, oh my God, he said whore. No, I didn't say that. God said that.
Amen.
And God said there's a judgment for that if you act that way.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says, people.
Yeah.
The problem is you're so brainwashed by the news media, something like that will make you leave the church.
Yeah.
And I didn't say that. The Bible said that. What's going on here? We're in a messed up situation. Back to Romans chapter 8. Amen. They do mind the things, verse 5, of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, that's what I want. I want to put down, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 10:5, I believe it is. And this is one of my life verses. I wish it was more like, the Lord puts me on a rock and gives me a shield and calls me a son and gives me the world and promises me a new Lexus. I wish that was my verse. But you know what I do? I try to choose a verse that's actually going to really help me in the battle, not just put sugar on top of my pancakes so I can just enjoy my life. Because you know what most Christians want? They just want the sugar on the syrup. They just want to have a happy life. Christian brother, you're in a battle. This is not no happy life. This is a battleground. You're to be an aggressive, soul-winning, fundamental, fire and damnation preacher. Every man in the Bible was. Every single one. Your Savior Jesus Christ, he sure was. Paul, he sure was. Elijah, Elisha, they sure were. So what happened here? Where did the gap just fall away? And all of a sudden some sissy got in there and says, oh, this is a man of God. Where did that come from? Seriously, where did that come from? The TV. Homosexual agenda. Feminism. That's where it came. That's where it came from.
Amen.
I'm so tuned in right now. I just feel like chewing on this microphone and spitting it down the hallway. I do. I feel like doing that. Why? Because people just don't see it. They just don't see it. Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know what that Bible does? That Bible puts its finger in your face and says, you're no good. All at your very best state, you're no good. That's what the Bible says. Joe Rutkowski is not saying that. I'm rehearsing for you, repeating to you what the Word of God says. Because you won't read it, you won't look at it, and you just want to watch TV. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You know your job? Your job is to fight the battle in your mind, as long as you're sane enough to do that. And if you're not, go get some help. I'm not against you. But I'm just telling you, the battleground is the mind. It says you are to physically, in your mind, cast down everything against God. Because your mind, we're going to read it in a moment, is an enemy. Enmity is an enemy of God. You're walking around in your head with this mushy, nasty stuff, your cranium, okay? You're smarter than apes. You don't come from apes. You're smarter than apes, by the way. Okay, I went to Philadelphia Zoo 2 weeks ago. You know what I learned? Men don't come from monkeys. They come from men. Amen. Men come from a man and a woman, not a man and a man. Just in case you're confused, I want to just clear that up for you just a little bit this morning. Amen. Amen. Casting on imaginations and every high thing exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And look at this. And bringing into captivity every thought, every single thought. To what? The obedience of Christ. Just because it's right. You get a thought or a cuss word comes to your mind and you want to say, cast it down. That's flesh. You want to say the F-bomb and drop it here and there? That's flesh. Okay? Don't think I don't want to say it sometimes, because I do. I want to smack people in the head sometimes, but that don't make it right. That's called flesh, and you got to fight it. It's like a spring. The more you compress that spring of flesh, the easier it gets. But if you feed that thing, it's going to explode right in your face. Whatever spirit you feed is the one that's going to grow. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And by the way, you know how I remember 2 Corinthians 10:5? Because if you swap those two numbers and go 5:10, guess where that hits you at? The judgment seat of Christ. And you know what I believe? And I got scripture for it, and I'll say it whether you think I'm right or wrong. I think one of the number one things you're going to be judged for is your mind at the judgment seat of Christ. Because nobody else can see it sometimes. You can't see my mind. You can look at my shirt and my tie. I look pretty good this morning, don't I? My wife thinks so, right? But in my mind, I could be nasty. I could have all kinds of things going on in there, just like you. God's going to judge you according to your thoughts, your deeds, and your actions. And your works, not to go to heaven, but what? To give an account, to work for him. Back to Romans chapter 8. Do mind the things in the middle of verse 5 of the flesh, but they are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, to be carnally minded, carnality, carnival, carne asada, that's meat. That's flesh. You know what a carnival is? When they hook you up in a ride and whip you around 100 miles an hour, it just flies over your head and looking modest, you know what that is? Flesh. Flesh, 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 flesh. Carnality. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death. Now think about this, brother. If you'd really did what your mind wanted to do, you know where you'd be in probably 24 hours? Dead. That's what he was just talking about, suicide. I'll amen myself if I don't get one. Amen, Joe. That's right. Flesh, carnally minded is death. You know what? I tell them on the street, I said, some of them are Christians and I know it. And I talk about their smoking, and I talk about their drinking, and I talk about the fornication. And I said, all sin is sin. All flesh is grass. You need to repent and believe Jesus Christ. Turn from that garbage and turn to Jesus Christ. So isn't that works? Absolutely not. John the Baptist preached it. Jesus Christ preached it. You know what he said? He said, why don't you bring forth what? Fruits worthy of repentance. That's what John said. Just show up and easy believe, just let on Jesus in your heart. Just like put this track in my pocket, just let him in your heart. That's not Bible. That's not scriptural. Scriptural is, oh God, I'm going to go to hell. Oh, I can't believe it. I didn't realize I was saying the Lord's name in vain 9 million times since I was 14 years old. Lord, I didn't realize thinking about women that way is a sin. I'm going to burn in hell. Lord, I sinned against you. It's judgment. And you know what you do? You turn from that life. You turn from that way. You turn from whatever else you were trusting in. And you turn to Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, forgive me. And please save me in Jesus' name. Through him, through his blood. You know what that does? That saves you. Amen. 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 Puts you in the battle. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 6, or chapter 8 rather, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Amen. That's the good stuff there. You say, I could stand up here and I could foam at the mouth and have total peace while I do it. I love it. I love it because it fires me up. It should fire you up. After hearing somebody talk like this, you'd ought to say, let's go out there and do something. Not turn the TV on or country music on in the old whip when you're driving home. You know what happens? the Holy Spirit goes, poof, gone.
Yep.
Gone. You know why? Because you grieve. That's what? It's at the end, very end of Thessalonians. It says what? Quench not the Spirit. That's right. Absolutely right. That's the Bible. It says, they do mind the things of the flesh, middle verse 5, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Turn to Isaiah chapter 48, if you would. Isaiah chapter 48. And we'll look over at 22, 48, 22. Here's another nice positive verse for you this morning. The Bible says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. All you got to do is flop that over and say, you get peace if you're not wicked.
Yeah.
If you do right, you get God's peace.
Yeah.
It's that simple. You see, the sugar is right next to the poison. It just depends on which one you reach for.
Yeah.
See what I mean? I told a guy last night, I said, God, yeah, I said, do you know what yin and yang is? Do you know what that is? That's perfect wrath and perfect love, right? You know, that's the Chinese, that's the whole thing of that Shemite mindset. That's why they're suicide bombers. That's why they are who they are, because of that symbol, right? You know what that is? That's God. God's perfect wrath, perfect love. Do you know that? You say, well, God just hates the sin, or how's that saying go again? Yeah, he hates the sin and loves the sinner, right? Where's that in the Bible?
Yeah.
I challenge anybody here, give that to me. I'll give you $100. Show me where that is in the Bible. You will not find it. It's not in there. The Bible says a lost man is an enemy of God, without hope, an alien from God, a stranger. That's what it says. You say, man, I didn't realize I'm getting myself into this morning. Good, good. That'll help you. Look, this will help you. You go to a doctor, you got a busted arm and a compound fracture hanging out. The doctor says, it's okay, it's going to be okay to put a Band-Aid on it. He's going to say, nope, put this mask on your face, I'm knocking you out cold, I'm going to break it again, I'm going to stick a pin in there, I'm going to screw it together, you're going to cry like a baby, and you're going to have a cast for 12 weeks. Probably can't move your elbow for a year, but after I'm done doing all that, you're going to be good again.
Yeah.
It's common sense, but you don't think about it that way. The Bible just is going to make me feel good. No, no. You know, first it ought to make you feel mean. And then once you get right, then you ought to feel good. Because when you get something right with God, there's a peace that comes that passes all understanding. You get to walk in the Spirit, like it says in Galatians chapter 5. And you know what you get? That fake baloney that Joel Osteen's trying to push out, you get the real stuff, baby. You get the real stuff. And it's not that garbage. It's not that 10 pounds of makeup on that Barbie doll looking Fruit Loop. Amen. That's right. Amen. And that's not all. Look back in Romans chapter 8. And I'm talking about peace. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, 5. This is another one of those where the rubber meets the road spots here. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Now, I want you to think this morning. Why do I talk the way that I talk? I want you to think. Okay, I'm not purposely trying to offend you. Okay, I'm trying to get you to think. Because the news media is not teaching you how to think. Schools today are not teaching you how to think.
Right,
they're just putting syrup on your nerves and dumbing you all down and saying, this is how cattle's supposed to think.
Right.
You're supposed to think for yourself according to the Word of God. Look what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, let this mind, back in Romans 8, I was talking about the mind. Look what the Bible says here. It says, let this mind, which one? This one, be in you. You have to let this mind, which I'm getting ready to explain to you, be in you. Ready? Which also was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You know how you're supposed to keep your mind right? Put yourself down.
Amen.
That's what Jesus Christ did, and took upon him the form of a servant.
Amen.
You're supposed to be a servant. It's not you first, everybody else next. It's you last, everybody else first. That's a servant. Not for money or for some other kind of gain in your life, but because it's right. Because that's what the Bible tells you to do. And was made in the likeness of men. That's Jesus Christ. And being found in fashion as a man, he what? Humbled himself. That's the next mental quality you're supposed to keep in the back of your mind is humility. Keep yourself humble before you stumble. I don't know where Alex is. But he got a nice big slice of humble pie last night. And I let the whole thing happen. I watched it because it's good for him. You need it. You need it. You're supposed to let that be in your mind of keeping yourself humble. I don't care if you got a nice car. I don't care if you make good money. You're supposed to be humble. You could lose it tomorrow with stage 4 cancer. Done. That's right. Yep. Amen. I thank God for the good job he's given me recently, but I don't trust in that. Amen. It's going to fly away. Yep. It's going to be gone. And the only thing in the Lord Jesus Christ's eyes is ever going to matter is what I did in this flesh for him. Yep. And the only thing that matters to him is what you do for him. Yep. Amen. Yep. Amen. Let this mind be in you, it says.
Amen.
Amen. Now verse 8 again. Philippians 2, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto what? Really? That's the same mindset you're supposed to have? You mean you're supposed to take it for Jesus Christ? I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying you're supposed to do it. They come in here and strap you up to a post and start lighting you on fire, you're supposed to take it. I don't like that. I'm not saying I could do it. I'm just saying the Bible says, guess what? That's what Jesus Christ did. They nailed him to a tree. By the way, a cross is a sign of a curse. Amen. It's not some holy ornament, some fixture that Jesus likes. That's where they nailed his son, on a cross. That's right. It's old Sparky. They put him there for you, for your sins. That's the mind you're supposed to keep present in your thoughts, okay? If you keep that, you know what you'll be able to do? You'll be walking on eggshells with the Lord. You start thinking like that. First time ever in my life, last year, a guy got in my face street preaching. Thank God it was me, not somebody else. It's just the Lord. But he picked up a cigarette butt off the ground. He didn't like what I was saying. He was a rich business owner. I saw him in a chiropractor's office yesterday. You should have seen this guy. He was like, who are you? He had no idea. I didn't say a word. I just let him guess the whole time. You know what this dude did to me? He took a cigarette butt off the ground, and he jammed it in my face. He hit me in the face with it and jammed it in my teeth and down my throat. I spit it out. I grabbed his hands. I started pinning him down. The Lord said, no! And I let him go. So the Lord said, take it. Just take it. He said, what are you talking about? Let this mind be in you. You got to force yourself to do it.
Yeah.
And you know what, brethren? If the Lord tarries, you just might get a chance to do that.
Amen.
You just might get a chance to do it, get it in the neck. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm just saying, and I'm not preaching, we're going to be going into tribulation. Oh, my God. I'm saying the tribulation is future, and our brethren in the past 100 years, 1,500 years, they have been tortured for this stuff. And we're sitting on a bed of flowers like a bunch of spoiled rich kids living in Beverly Hills. We got our noses up at everybody else. That's Christianity today.
Yep.
And there's a problem with that.
Yep.
And God has a problem with that. You know what? It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. The Bible says this, Romans, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity. You know what the word enmity means? It means feeling actively opposed or hostile to someone. That's God. That word enmity, it means enemy. It means in your mind, your carnal mind is an enemy of God, saved person. It's against God. That's what the scripture says. Isn't that something? That's crazy, isn't it? That's what it says. Amen. Enmity. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. I could tell this is going over like a lead balloon, but that's all right. Because that's what the Lord wants. And this is his Bible, by the way. You see, I could pick this thing up and I can make it say whatever I want it to say. Do you know that? I could preach a really heartfelt message this morning. I'd get you all crying and I could beg you for money and I could probably fill my gas tank up if I tried. I'm being honest. I bet you I could do it. I've been preaching long enough. I've had training. I know I could do it. Oh, look at that Barbie doll dude. He does it. You don't think I could do a better job than that wimp? I know I can. Amen. Doesn't mean it's right. Amen. Isaiah 55:7 says this. I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm trying to just be kind of rough and condemnable in speech because that's how Paul spoke. That's how Jesus spoke. That's how the prophets spoke. Because really, these are the words that are going to count and try to wake you up a little bit. If I just say, oh, it's okay, brother. Judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be just fine. No, I don't think so. You're in trouble. I'm in trouble. If you don't get things right, you're in a lot of trouble. And I don't want to shame my Savior. I want him to be happy with my service. And if I'm a little bit rough, then so be it. I'd rather take that chance and say, Lord, I gave it my all. I did my best for you, Lord. And you know it. Amen.
Yep.
Amen. Look at this. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 55. Look in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his what? His what? You mean to tell me the Bible says you're supposed to forsake your thoughts? Well, who? I thought you were special. I thought you were like, you know, God's man, and you're supposed to forsake your thoughts? Okay, let's see what else it says. And let him return unto the Lord. Your thoughts get you away from God. You know how you return back to God? You forsake your thoughts. That's what it says. And he will have mercy upon him. I know it's Old Testament. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Here we go, verse 8. And this ought to hit home, right? This is what we did in a skit together a couple years ago. This is our verse, me and David here. Ready? Check this out. What's it say? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God speaking. He says, neither are your ways my ways. They're opposite, saith the Lord. Just like a good diet. Don't eat nothing that tastes good. Everything that looks like rabbit food, eat it. You'll lose weight. You don't need no pill or staples in your gut. You will lose weight, I promise. You ever seen a really obese rabbit out in the wild? They're like this. No. We put them in a cage and feed them garbage and they get fat, okay? Amen. Now, it's not only that. Look at verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts, that's God's thoughts, are what? Higher than what? Your thoughts. You know, I heard Brother Donovan say this back to Romans 8. We'll finish up in about 2-3 minutes. You know the trick, and I say that word lightly and tongue in cheek, but you know what you need to do? You need to get your mind lined up with Jesus Christ, and you'll be all right. If you could figure out how to line your mind up with God's mind, you know what? You're going to think right, and you're going to do right, and you're going to act right. The Bible just told us that your thoughts normally are not God's ways or thoughts. Your mind's against God. You're told to cast it down, put off the flesh, put it in that casket that's coming for us soon, and walk in the newness of Jesus Christ, put on Christ, the Bible says. That's what you're told to do. Look what it says in verse 8, back in Romans 8:8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot what? If you're walking after the flesh, brother, then you're not pleasing God. It's black and white, plain and simple. You're not pleasing God if you're walking in the flesh. And inside right now, if you're yelling like a dog that just got hit by a car and the Lord's got your number and I'm stepping on your toes, I'm glad because that means that it needed to be done. And I'm glad because I mean that God uses the what? The fool. I'm a fool. God uses the foolishness of preaching. Why? To get a hold of you. That's God's method. You think I enjoy this? You think I really would love, I can't wait to preach. Yeah, right. You think I would get a kick out of doing this? This just floats my boat to just stand here and ram it down your throat. No, some guys get off on that stuff. I don't. I'd rather be at home with my kids in the pool playing and having fun and just letting the world go to hell. That's what I would rather be doing. That's what most Christians do, brother. And I don't want to be like that. The Bible says we're supposed to mortify our members. And look what it says in verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh. What? But in the spirit. If you're saved in here, you're in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So a lost person doesn't have the spirit of Christ, the spirit of God in him. He's lost. I'm going to get to this next week. I got to wrap up here just in a minute or so. The Bible says in John, it says there's two types of people in the world. It says you have a child of God and a child of the devil. And that's it. Okay, a lady last night said, well, I've always been a Christian. No, you haven't, I told her. I said, the Bible says you're born an enemy of God. You need to get saved, born again, regenerated, converted. They're Bible words for transformation. It's not AA, it's Jesus Christ, okay? He transforms you. Not a bunch of creeds that work, stealing biblical truth and not giving Jesus Christ the credit. Amen. Amen, that's right. And it says this. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, verse 9. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. 1 John 4, and it talks about the Spirit of the Antichrist as well. You have the Christian can be led by the Spirit of Antichrist. Did you know that? Amen. Just turn on the newscast, and you'll see him. That's the Spirit of the Antichrist pushing their little liberal, gay, flamboyant agenda down my throat when I'm trying to serve God and try to be holy. That is garbage. And the Bible says you are to cast it down. I want to make fun of it. I want to dance up here and just make fun of it because it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. You know how ridiculous it is When two women get together, why is one of them dressed like an ugly man? How ridiculous. The very thing that they hate and abhor, they dress and make themselves look like one. And then one's the male figure and one's the female. What is that? That's total confusion. And that's just wickedness. Two men together, one of them acting like a woman. What? Yeah, both of them act like women is right. What is that? That's insanity is what that is. Amen. That's total insanity. It's good for you. Hold on, we're almost done. I know I'm pushing it a little bit. I know they're out there waiting, but technically I still have 5 minutes. But I'll go ahead and close because I know Pastor wants to give everybody time to get in and stuff like that. He's nicer than I am, right? And I love you, Pastor.
That's the right thing to do.
That's the right thing to do. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the message. I pray you help us, Father, to think about your word and try to do right and walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Thank you for this time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Joe's ex-Marine sergeant, so